Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, we recently had Kilkenny farmer Stephen O'Reilly in studio talking about regenerative farming. He also took the time to take the Life in Five challenge, where our guests talk about their life and faith by answering five questions that they choose from a short list. It was a very, very interesting conversation that I had with Stephen, and God bless him, he went straight out to talk to Rob and answer those five questions. And here he is, Stephen O'Reilly, talking to Spirit Radio's Rob Clark.
So, Stephen, let me put a few questions to you. Here's one you've chosen. A favourite Bible verse and why?
Okay, so I'd have to pick Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. I'll just read it out. It's basically, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is your everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Stephen, I can imagine that this verse speaks to you, because I can imagine a farmer feels weary at times.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I've had a few challenging years, certainly of late. My mother, she's going through cancer treatment at the moment. And we were only speaking about this verse, and then she sent it to me as well. And I just felt it really spoke to me. And it is certainly one you lean on when times are tough in the depths of winter.
Yeah.
And, to remember that, you have to hand it to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know.
And I mean, on a farm, there's jobs that have to be done, yeah. Rain, hail or snow.
That's it.
You can't ring the boss and say, look, I can't make it in today.
No, you are the boss. And there's no one else to turn to.
There's no one else.
Yeah.
You got a second. How does God help you in your work?
Well, I suppose I thought about this one, and really, I'm fairly stubborn, and I don't lean on the Lord enough, it's fair to say. And I think regarding the very nature of farming, you really are out of the control of the elements. The Lord is in full control, and it's in that very aspect of it that he teaches you patience, which I badly do need. Like, I've been working on it years, but still I find myself stumbling, and this is where I find he comes in. So from that regard, that's where I find it. That's where he helps me with my work.
Yeah, very good. Okay, a time, where you've seen a miracle.
I'm the father of two boys, and both were miracles. But when we my wife had home births, so that's kind of what she really wanted when giving birth. So the two boys were born at home, when Jacob was born, the youngest, I delivered him.
Okay.
So that was an incredible miracle.
That was.
Yeah. You don't get much more. And, no. I didn't need a Calvin Jack. it was unbelievable. And the whole room, the lead up to it, the whole room had just completely and utterly changed. It was the presence of Christ was just unbelievable. It was like a light switch when it actually, because she had gone to the bathroom. I helped her to the bathroom. We came back to the bedroom, and when we walked into the room, it was just, just before it was really going to kick off, it just was, there was such a feeling of a total change in the atmosphere.
God's presence.
Yeah, it was just, it was immense. Yeah, it really was. So that was a miracle.
And there, that little baby holding in your hands, those first precious seconds and new life.
Unbelievable.
Wonderful. Where you see God in everyday life?
Farming is pretty much my life, so I kind of always stem back to it. And where I see the Lord is when I'm on the land, whether it be winter or summer. But if I hear a woodpecker, or if I hear a new calf that's been born bawling for its mother, or if I see frost and ice on the coat of a cow, I think for it all, it just brings me back to knowing that, there's an awful lot going on here bigger than me, and it's all for the glory of him. Even the ball of the calf looking for its mother, or the buzzard in the sky above me, it's all for the glory of him, and that's where I see it.
Yeah, fantastic. A favourite piece of music and why?
Okay, so that would have to be a cowboy singer in the States called Jesse Ballantyne, and his song that sticks out for me is "Joy in the Journey." And really, it's agricultural based, because he's a working cowboy himself. But really, I can read a few lines for you, Rob. It's basically the last few lines of one of the sections of the song. Cattle on the hillside, valley down below, peace like a river is winding through my soul. I may not make much money, but I'm wealthy just the same, because freedom is my treasure and the good Lord knows my name. This is the day the Lord has made, and I stand in awe of his way. I thank him for this life, for my children and my wife, the joy in the journey.
Yeah. Fantastic. What a beautiful, beautiful song, yeah. Beautiful words, and you could almost say written for a farmer.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. There is some, you know, one thing in the States with ranching, they give a lot, you know, they really do know who the Lord is because they're out in it, and they know how small they are in comparison to it all, so they depend on him quite a bit, and where I get my inspiration from as well.
Yeah. Stephen, thanks very much for joining us today. You were our Life in Five guest.
Thank you, Rob.
I don't know what to think of that, but I found that very inspiring, really, and listening to the way Stephen O'Reilly spoke about the land and the livestock and just the life of being out there was really, it transported me. I was there, I was sitting here with my eyes closed listening to him, just loving it, and a lovely interview by Rob there as well, so well done to Rob Clark. Stephen O'Reilly, our Life in Five today. Our next guest is involved in running summer sports camps that are designed to meet the needs of children who are wheelchair users, have mobility issues, or able-bodied children as well. It's a great chance for children of all mobility abilities to enjoy sports, try new activities, and make new friends. The camps run throughout the summer, and on the line now to tell us more, we have Emily Norton, Sports Development Officer at the Irish Wheelchair Association. You're very welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you very much, Ronan.
Yeah, so first of all, Emily, what I like about your camps is that it's a great way for siblings and friends, you know, who are wheelchair users, but who have mobility issues or able-bodied children, all to go to summer camp together.
Yeah, oh, it's a brilliant opportunity for them all together. We get an awful lot of local school children as well attending, and it's great for our own members then to obviously interact with all these local school children and also their own friends.
Do you find that you get feedback from the kids, you know, on kind of both the kids with mobility issues and the ones without, in terms of kind of the way they interact? Do you find that?
100%. So we get great positive feedback from both parents and from both children at the end of the camps all together. So with regards to children with disabilities and mobility issues, you'd find that a lot of their parents would notice the independence that they've gotten from our camps.
Wow.
And the overall great experience that they've had meeting other people, meeting children similar to them, and also interacting with able-bodied children.
Yeah.
And then I suppose it's also a good example of reverse integration, where able-bodied children are encouraged to try the disabled activities as well and become involved and see what it's like to be in a wheelchair and interact with other children that are basically the same age as them who are in wheelchair users and have mobility issues.
Yeah, because I noticed that you actually did have, you encouraged the able-bodied children to try wheelchair sports, which is cool.
100%. We would also encourage it. We have a range of different programs that we run in the Irish Wheelchair Association. The predominant one, of course, being our summer camps. And we also would run a school tours program, which is kind of a recent program that we started running, where schools kind of come in and they come into our main centre in Clontarf, and it's run between September and June predominantly for third and sixth class students, and they kind of get a feel for the different sports that we do here, such as seated volleyball, wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, and they get to learn a bit about the IWA. And you just find that through the summer camps and also the school tours program, children come out with a massive positive experience, saying it's the best day that they've ever experienced.
Absolutely.
And one quote in particular, we usually ask for feedback at the end of the camps and at the end of the school tours program from the children, and like one of them even quoted, "Just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean that you can't do what other people can do."
Go on.
And it's also like they just say how amazing and how fun it is and how much they want to do it again, that it was the most positive experience they've ever been through.
This kind of hits me, Emily, is there's obviously crack to be had, you know,
it's
very enjoyable, but you know, because I mean I don't know how many of the listeners would know this, but like I grew up and my younger sister was in and out of wheelchair really for most of her kind of, you know, later childhood and teen years, and then into, you know, she's permanently in a wheelchair now. But one of the things we would do is we as the other kids in the family would hop in and out of the wheelchair and give it a go, you know, and actually it always struck me, even at that age, that actually your entire perspective of the room is different. You know, where everything is in the room, and also your own abilities. You realize actually, I'm now actually differently abled in terms of my ability to maneuver this thing. Do you know what I mean?
You find with children attending the camps, they're a bit apprehensive at first, maybe to sit into a wheelchair. But everyone is kind of like, we'd have kids attend this camp on a regular basis. And you find once everyone kind of is sitting into wheelchairs, they have no problem and they're flying about and they absolutely enjoy it and you can't nearly get them out of it at all, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
And like, it's just a great experience altogether. Like, the camps are a brilliant way to kind of experience the wheelchair sports and what we do.
Absolutely.
And it's just very inclusive altogether.
So I know the summer camps are based in Clontarf, Dublin, which is the Irish Wheelchair Association's dedicated sports facility. So could you tell us what type of facilities you have there?
So the type of facilities, it's fully accessible environment here at IWA with accessible toilets. And we have a massive sports hall here as well that can, like, a variety of sports can take place in. Very accessible building altogether. And then we've got a lot of different range of equipment, wheelchair rugby chairs, we have wheelchair basketball chairs, parachutes, everything that you could think of.
Did you say parachutes?
Yeah, we have parachutes, etc. Yeah, we also would have, which is kind of predominantly, it would have been in like some newspaper articles, etc. It's a wheelchair football. So I'm about 5'9" myself, and this ball would come up to about my hip.
My goodness, it's big.
Yeah, so when you have the children in the wheelchairs, they just see this massive football coming along and they're like, my God, what are we going to do with this now? But they have absolute great crack altogether.
Brilliant.
And then with the camps, they would run, so we've just kicked off with our first week of camps there, the 1st of July.
So,
and they run straight through to the 16th of August.
So Emily, what age group are you talking about? What are they designed for?
So the age group is from approximately children between the ages of 4 and 12. That would be
really?
For
yeah.
the main summer camp that we run for 6 weeks.
Cool.
The only week that it wouldn't run would be the week of the 15th of July, which is in 2 weeks' time. We actually run another camp, and it's just specifically for our members between the ages of 5 to 17 and their siblings and their friends who want to come.
So each camp is like a week long, is it? Is that the way it works?
Each camp, it runs from Monday to Friday from about 9:30 to 2:30 every day.
And what kind of activities will take place at the camps?
So the different activities that we would do would be soccer, foam polo, we do parachute games, archery, GAA. I would specifically run the GAA myself. I play county football as well. So that would definitely be always taking place as well.
Well,
a variety of other activities such as rounders, tag rugby, badminton, table tennis, athletics. And then you'd have wheelchair basketball and wheelchair rugby and plenty more. And we'd also try to make a wee trip during the summer to the local park, St. Anne's Park.
Yeah.
We would use that a lot of the time throughout the summer, especially when there's such good weather.
It's beautiful up there, isn't it? It's lovely, lovely.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Such a great space and a great environment. And you really see a pickup in the children. Like, you would get fed up all the time being in the centre.
Yeah.
In the one particular sports hall. So we do like to get out to the park as much as we possibly can.
So did I hear you dropping in there that you play GAA yourself?
Yeah, just a wee slip there.
Who do you play for?
Loud Ladies, we just won the Leinster Junior Championship there.
Well, many congratulations. Well,
great
done.
Team effort altogether.
Well done. That's brilliant. That's great news. I'm sure they're very, very excited about that.
Oh, we are. And we can do as well now in the All Ireland series. That's what we're hoping for.
That's right. Yeah, only a matter of time, Emily.
Yeah, indeed it is.
Yeah, listen. Can I just ask you? I mean, I'm getting the impression from the way you're describing it that this is probably a good way for children to meet other children and learn more about each other.
100%.
Yeah.
Throughout the different sports that we carry out here, it just provides great opportunity to learn from other children and also learn from us as coaches and as staff members. It gives children that ability to understand their peers that might be wheelchair users or have mobility issues, and also increases the awareness of the wonderful sports that we provide here at IWA.
Yeah, and needless to say, the camps are all led by qualified instructors.
All led by qualified instructors. We have about 6 key staff. And then we would also have interns that would come in from the likes of America, and they would gain from us and like get lots of experience through it as well.
Yeah.
The safety and well-being of children being our number one priority. Like, and all of our staff are very energetic, they're youthful, highly qualified, and we're ultimately dedicated to ensure that all children that attend our camps have the best time they possibly can.
Absolutely. And I've seen, you know, some of the photos of the camps, and it looks they're having a brilliant time. It looks inclusive. It looks like the people are, you know, the children are there, both with mobility issues and able-bodied children, working together in team games. It's really, it looks fantastic. So can you tell us, Emily, what is the registration process? I mean, these, as I said, these are week-long camps. Yeah. How can people find out more?
So people can contact our number on 01818 6423, or a lot of the information is provided on our website, which would be www.iwasport.com/camps.
Okay.
So a lot of the information is based on that. You can also book in any places through that website itself, or if you want any further information, you can also contact info@iwasport.com.
Okay.
And then the prices for the camp would be, for one child, it's €80 for the week.
My
for
goodness.
Two children, €155. And for three children special, it's €225 for the week. With week four, obviously being the week of the bank holiday in August, we run the camp for 4 days that week, and it's €65 per child.
That's very reasonable, Emily. That's reasonable. I mean, it's not crazy compared to some of the camps that are out there. So I really want to make sure people hear that again. So www.iwasport.com.
iwasport.com/camp.
So iwasport.com/camp. And the phone number is 01818 6423. And you can also get through at info@iwasport.com.
Yes, so that info@iwasport.com, all the emails that come through that come directly to myself. So I'm more than happy to clear up any issues that any members of the public might have in regards to either our summer camps or our members' camps. They're always looking for new members to join IWA as well and get involved.
Wonderful.
Our main thing is just providing as many opportunities out there to children who mightn't realise that these opportunities do exist.
It is really good, and it sounds like a great old riot of a week for anybody between 4 and 12. It's really wonderful.
Definitely all together. It's a few weeks of absolute massive packed action, filled fun and lots of different sports, like, which would be great because many of the camps specifically focus on perhaps one sport in particular. But with us, we have a variety of different sports. And we would also run these camps in Galway and Cork. So if there's any other queries in relation to them camps, just email info@iwasport.com. And then we'd also run, I must say, a massive thank you to some of the other organisations, the national governing bodies that we would collaborate with our members' camps, such as Cricket Leinster, Volleyball Ireland and Boccia Ireland.
Wonderful.
That help us run all these different sports as well.
Okay.
And Dublin City Council, that would provide loads of support to us.
Right. Emily Norton, Sports Development Officer at the Irish Wheelchair Association. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much, Ronan. God, thank you.
So, our Prayer Coach series continues today. It's where we talk about our spiritual health and how we can get better at praying and getting close to God. And I'm delighted to welcome back Alphonsus Cullinan, Bishop of Waterford and Lismore, better known as Bishop Fonzie. And today we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're very welcome to the show, Bishop Fonzie. How are
you? Thank you very much, Ronan. Great to be here, and hello to all your listeners.
First of all, are you enjoying the summer such as it is so far?
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I think everybody likes the sun.
Yeah, yeah. You're part of the world now. It's very nice down there, isn't it?
The sunny southeast. And, you know, lovely. I lived most of my life in the west coast.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And there is a definite difference.
Absolutely.
Without doubt.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time in Killarney, and it's beautiful and everything, but man, it rains.
It does.
And you're in the southeast, it just doesn't quite. There's more sunshine.
More sunshine.
Yeah.
Without doubt, the sunny southeast. Praise God.
So we're back to the idea of this idea of disciple. The term disciple is one that we're not that familiar with in normal conversation, but when it comes to talking about a relationship with Jesus, there's no getting away from it, is there?
No, there isn't. I mean, he the Lord says in Matthew chapter 28, you know, go and make disciples. So he wants his church, he wants his followers to make disciples, to make followers of him, people who will, It's the same word as discipline, actually. Yeah. And, you know, to commit to him. But isn't that a beautiful thing, really? To commit to Jesus. I mean, what better person could we commit our lives to? There isn't any.
I know what you mean, because we're very familiar now with the idea of friends. I mean, just think about, you know, Facebook and the rest.
Yes.
And followers, you know. So we know about follower, we know about friend.
Sure.
A disciple, something more, isn't it?
It's something more. There's a commitment there, that I commit myself to following this person, and that can be so countercultural, of course, you see, because commitment now is, I remember I saw a t-shirt, I'm not the commitment type was written on it, and I said, oh dear, how sad, who would like to be a friend of that person?
Yeah.
No one. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't right, you like your friend to commit to you and to be faithful and loyal? So, you know, in culture today, in our culture, there's so much talk about freedom, to be free, to follow my heart, whatever my heart dictates. But wait a minute, I mean, Ronan, I'm a sinner. If I follow whatever my heart dictates, I will end up being a slave to things which are not good, which are not going to make me fully be myself. You know, St. Paul has an extraordinary line, which is a real paradox. And of course, our Christian faith is full of paradoxes, where St. Paul says, and I paraphrase him, I become free in being a slave to Christ.
There it is. Yeah.
I mean, isn't that? And, you know, like, you know, the Lord, there are so many of these paradoxes in what he says, you know, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. But the wisdom of the world would be, blessed are the strong, because they'll dominate.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's the complete opposite with Christ. So he is calling us to commit ourselves to him, and then he will make us free, you know. Take up your cross, follow me, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Commit to me and to my truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
You know,
amazing. And that's,
it is amazing, and it's true. And, you know, the people that I meet who are truly free are the people who have given their lives over to God and to others, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, St. Francis this time, you know, that line which is so, so, so striking, you know, in one of his prayers, it is in giving that we receive. It's in giving away ourselves that we truly receive, and we really find out who we are, you know, and that's
so this kind of elusive thing, which
yes.
is freedom that we're
yeah.
that people are really getting after, and it's a basic human need to have freedom,
sure.
to be able to make decisions,
sure.
But weirdly, it eludes us until we commit.
It does.
That's really what you're saying.
Yeah, that is true, because you see, we are flawed. So if I follow my freedom completely, because I am flawed, I will end up down a wrong road. But it's the Lord's grace that heals my sinfulness, and in him and following him I find true freedom and joy, and I'm sure what could be better than that, and not only in this world, but he promises us eternal joy.
Wonderful.
Isn't that something worth
wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't
committing
you do it?
One's
yeah,
life
yeah.
to
why wouldn't you do it? It's funny, I found this extraordinary quote from actually Friedrich Nietzsche, of all
yeah.
people.
Wow.
And he described it as a long obedience in the same direction.
Wow.
And I thought that was really caught my mind, you know, a long
yes.
obedience in the same direction.
Yes.
And actually then if you get that, and he and I know he was very nihilistic and stuff, but still
yes.
even he recognized that you needed to do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he used the word obedience, because obedience actually ab audere means to listen to.
Oh.
You know?
Wow.
So if you really listen to what's going on in your life and not just follow superficially, if you try to get underneath the superficiality and truly listen to the Spirit and listen to your own conscience, which is, of course, the aboriginal voice of God within each person, if we can truly listen to our conscience and to what God is saying to us through Scripture, through others. Others can be channels, of course, of God's grace, and are all the time. But if we're truly listening, then we can, you know, discover the voice that I should follow, the things that I should do to make me truly, truly free, you know? So there is a constant adventure there, you might say, you know, in trying to discover the truth. But doesn't the Lord say, you know, seek and you will find. Knock on the door will be open to you. Ask and you will receive. So to keep asking for that wisdom of the Lord to show me true freedom, to show me that it is in giving myself to God and to others that I truly become myself.
So in a way, being like, so he's the teacher and
sure.
the Lord, and we're the disciple.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We want to be the disciple of
sure.
this teacher. So what I think I'm hearing you say is this feeling of almost a kind of a listening with the heart, a deeper listening, a kind of a listening that goes deeper than just simply the surface.
Yes. Now, of course, the good book, the Bible says that the heart is the most treacherous of things because, you know, because again, my heart is the heart of a wounded, sinful
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah.
And while there are wonderful things in us all, there is also that woundedness of sin. So we must always guard against that. And this is why, you know, the reading of Scripture, the tradition of the church, the wisdom of the saints. And as well as that, if we're truly listening to what, you know, what people are saying to us and what society is saying to us, and if we can stand back and look at these things and asking the Holy Spirit to teach us deeper things, that with all of these helps, we can discover our way in life.
You know, you make it sound really attractive, but you know, at the same time, the idea that of being disciples of Jesus, the question that comes up inside me is,
yeah,
is it attainable? Is it attainable? Is it, you know, because in a way, I'm thinking of, you know, when Jesus speaks to the rich young man,
sure,
and the rich young man looks at it and goes, oh, I'd love to, but I just can't do it.
Right.
Yes. That looks way too hard for me.
Yeah.
Is it attainable?
Well, I mean, what I would say to anybody who is wondering, is it attainable, is join the club. You know,
yeah,
this is the adventure.
Exactly, yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
And look, patience. God isn't finished with you. He's not finished with me. There's always more. We will never achieve it fully in this life, but we keep striving. We keep striving, you know. We just keep working at it. And I love one of those, you know, those posters they have sometimes in offices. You know, be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. You know.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So we're all a work in progress. And of course, that is, if we can understand that for ourselves, we will be more compassionate to others.
Yeah. Do you know, when we invited you in, I have this magnificent brochure in my hand. I hadn't realized that when we asked you to speak specifically about discipleship, that you actually have a Diocesan Pastoral Plan 2019 to 2024 for the Diocese of Waterford, Lismore. Go make disciples.
That's exactly it. Yeah,
and I mean, it's a beautiful piece of work. And you know, as you yeah. as you said quite rightly, there are objectives, there are actions, and there's a time frame. So that is really something. So could you just? I don't want to let you go without doing something.
Yeah.
It seems like we've been talking about this beautiful thing of prayer and relationship with Jesus,
sure.
and now we're getting into something practical here. But still, if you could give us some sort of idea of what was planned.
Sure. Well, the whole idea of evangelization, of discipleship, actually came from the people that we listened to around the diocese. And the overriding preoccupation of them all was, you know, how can we bring the gospel out to people?
Mm.
How can we share the good news? How can we get it out there? So, and it was the Diocesan Pastoral Council who came up with the title, which really, again, came from the listening process of the people. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit working through all these ways, all these people.
Mm.
Go make disciples. You know, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to the great commission of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. Go and make disciples. Tell people the good news. And if we really love people, you know, even if it at the risk of making, you know, a few, you know, waves or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's tell people, you know, hey, I pray for you. I think Jesus is great and Jesus loves you. And, you know, tell people that that you have a prayer life and it means so much to you. Invite them to pray with you, maybe. Whatever. Give them a line of scripture. And someday, even if that person is dead set against you and against Christianity and the church or whatever, someday they will be in need. He or she will
Absolutely.
Need that encouraging word. And maybe that will be the chink in the armor, you know, where the light comes through, as Leonard Cohen sings in one
right.
of his songs.
It's beautiful, isn't it, Jed? Beautiful line.
It is.
Is this publication, Go Make Disciples, is this generally available? Or is
no,
it,
that's, we print a copy. You have a special copy run on.
Thank you, it's gorgeous.
Very welcome. And please God that
yeah.
it will be...
But it's important.
You know, yeah, another chapter in the history of the diocese.
And They see they're promoting justice and peace in accordance with the social teaching of the Church to promote awareness of Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si, which is a great read, by the way. It's
absolutely
fabulous. And to reach out in spirit of solidarity and support to asylum seekers and refugees. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, it's beautiful. And there's so much more. That's just, I'm just looking at one little page here.
Sure.
It's
sure.
wonderful, you know, and serving the mission at diocesan level. It's just really, I tell you, I am so encouraged by it, really.
Well, please God. I mean, it's one thing to have it down on paper. It's another thing to actually do it. But the beauty of having it down on paper is that we now have something to work on. We now have something as a diocese to aim towards, parishes and groups. You know, it's there. What can we do to put this plan into effect with the help of the Holy Spirit?
Wonderful. Bishop Fonsy Cullinan, Bishop of Waterford and Lismore, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Ron, and God bless you.
Now, a new support service for men was launched last week. It's called Any Man, and on its brand new website, it includes these two stark statistics from the National Study of Domestic Abuse in 2005. One in three people experiencing abuse in Ireland is a man. 29% of women seek help, only 5% of men seek help. On the line now to tell us more, we have the chairman of Any Man, consultant psychologist, Owen Connolly. You are very welcome to the show, Owen. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. And you presented us really well. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You started off with most of my speech, but wonderful.
I hate when they do that. Yeah. First of all, Owen, why is a support service for men needed, do you think?
Well, I think that you've pointed out because men are often very unable to say anything about what's going on in their relationships because they don't want to bring shame to their household. They're afraid of losing their children. They don't want to fall out with their wife. There's a whole bunch of things. I mean, our thing is that, you know, men actually are paying a really high price for the laws that were made in the past, because what has happened is there's been this incredible powerful position that women have got themselves in simply because they have acted, because they were so badly treated in the past by both church and state, and sadly they felt very let down. They found a very fine and very strong and wonderful organization that's helped them.
Yes.
But men have fallen behind because they've not really been able to actually support each other. The only support that we saw with men would be, they talk about football, they'll talk about
absolutely
everything else.
Yeah.
But will they talk about their domestic situation? Absolutely not. And then we have, you know, more breakdowns in marriages than ever before. We have men and women separating and children distraught. The level of anxiety in children in school is at an all-time high. The children's fear of their mums and dads will separate. Incredible, this is going on at the moment. But fear is the center of it all.
Yeah.
Fear of outcomes. And this is, and men, you know, the bravest of us, you know, there was another Connolly before, he brought a whole lot of people that say the nation or worked towards bringing something really positive into Ireland. And I'm just saying that we have to look at men, you know, standing up and without fear, addressing issues, because all relationships have differences of opinion that would be normal.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they need to also know that if they're been physically abused, mentally abused, they need to be able to talk to somebody, and we do need to have an organization that is a listening ear that helps them to drive out all fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's what we're going to do, because they're going to be loved. They're going to be told that they have a life. They are important and valued, and they are appreciated as human beings, and they have within them the capacity to be able to express what's going on. And it doesn't have to mean that they have to have a breakdown in their marriage and so on, or lose their kids.
Yeah.
But they do need to have a place and a safe place where they can communicate what's going on.
They certainly do, Owen. It was so interesting, like, even as you were speaking there, I suddenly remembered last year when the law was changed in terms of domestic abuse, and the idea that actually, you know, it kind of was tightened up, and probably rightly that it was tightened up, but it was very interesting. Every time there was somebody that was invited in to speak, there was always somebody from, it was, you know, something to do with the Rape Council, it was to do with some other area. And quite interestingly, they would sort of say, and they would always ask the question, and what about you know, when a man is being abused in the house. And it was very interesting because of the particular angle that those particular individuals were coming from. They either would say it doesn't happen, or they would say it only happens very rarely, and yet the statistics are screamingly high.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly 2 in 5 of every single relationship with men, or, you know, in any kind of relationship. 2 men out of every 5 will be abused in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so again, let us make the point here. There is no place in this new and wonderful organization for any kind of bitterness to be expressed by us towards any partner.
Sure.
As we're very aware that in any domestic situation between men and women, there are going to be differences.
Of course.
And we understand that. But bitterness can creep in if we're going to be taking one side or the other. We do not want to see a them and us. We want to see the value that there is between men and women, and the impact it has on children, because witnessing domestic violence between parents is a recognized adverse child experience. Children really, really suffer very badly from these things. And so we need to remind men who love their children and women who love their children that that they need to, when things like that are happening, they need to address it. But at the moment, women have a place to go, but men have no place.
So what's the significance of the title Any Man, Owen?
Well, I think that we need to have a look at any man. Any man in any relationship has an opportunity to be able to speak to us.
Okay.
And any man really is how we describe all people. You know, we're all, you know, part of mankind, to be honest. And as a group of people in mankind, whether you be male or female, you have hurts. They need to be addressed, and you need to have somewhere where you can talk about it. So far, women have the places, men don't. And we're saying to men, please, you need to be able to speak up and really deal with fear, because fear is the biggest killer. If we have a fear in us, we won't open our mouths. Or if we do say something as men, people will say, you're joking me. You mean to say, you know, I think there's somebody pointed out about if you see a man with a black eye, you say, well, he was in a fight with some fella.
Yeah, that's right.
A woman
absolutely.
With a black eye, you see somebody says, oh, the poor dear, what kind of a cruel man.
What's going on at home? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're so right, yeah.
There is it's really, we want to try and address some of these ideas that people have in their heads.
So, okay. Owen, what services does Any Man provide?
Well, for the moment, because again, we're looking at the way in which we'll be financed. The finance is very little. If you can think of that, 16 million is the amount of money that's given to the women's organizations, and whereas 1 million totally to all of the men's organizations in the country. And for our little bunch of people, it's about 240,000, which is very little money. But what we're trying to do is raise awareness of our need. We are going to look upon men, women, families all over the country to look at supporting us, so that we would have the funding to be able to provide the services that are really necessary for men men in the country, so that we can have a restoration of a relationship between men and women, not break them up. We want them to be able to live in harmony together. We don't want people to be breaking up families, but then you see we're having breakups because sometimes men have placed nowhere to go to talk, or women have been so hurt in their relationship that they, at least they can go someplace, but the first place they want to go to, it seems like, not for reconciliation, but to the courts.
Courts, exactly. So would there be a counselling therapy legal element to what Any Man hopes to provide?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our you know, our ambition is that there should be counselling facilities to the length and breadth of the country, that when somebody calls us up, that we will be in a position to be, say, you're in Cork, you're in Galway, wherever it is, we have someone who's trained to be able to listen to what your situation is and to sort of help you through the difficulties around that, so things don't get elevated or don't get out of hand. So those are the kind of things that we are proposing to do. We are also to go to have some teaching opportunities for going into schools to teach boys and girls about how respectful they ought to be to one another, to understand that men, yes, they can be a little bit rough, and they can be all kinds of things, because they've gone out and taken bullets and fought wars, and hundreds of thousands have died trying to protect people. And not, well, women have too, but not to the same extent. But we're designed differently. We're designed as protectors, carers, where we should be looking out, guarding our families, instead of looking in, beating our families up. We've got to change that position, our perception.
Absolutely. And of course, society needs healthy men, doesn't it?
It does. Because we won't have a society unless we have healthy men and healthy women. But in understanding what relationships are about, so that they can be strong and they can be healthy. I mean, I celebrated my 50th wedding anniversary this year.
Oh, congratulations,
which I'm so delighted about.
Owen Clare. Well done to the pair of you.
Absolutely. But, you know, as I said, often said, you know, she was very brave to have stayed this long with me. But it is a case of two people choosing to deal with our issues, choosing to work on it. Did I have to work on our relationships? Yes, I did. Did I have to have help? Yes, I did. And was I lucky to get the help? Yes, I did. And I was. But I'm saying that so many people out there have no help, are not getting helped. Yeah. And they have no one to speak to, and we want to be the people.
Absolutely. Chairman of Anyman, consulting psychologist Owen Connolly, thank you so much for talking
to
us this morning.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.